James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone. Few times does Jesus contrast the world's standard with his own standard as clearly as he does in today's gospel. Jesus is the Lord, the eternal King of Kings, and yet he puts all of his power, all of his wisdom and his energy, all of his talents, he puts them all at the service of those whom he has come to rule and teach. He seeks nothing for himself. Most of us who live in this fallen world do just the opposite. We tend to put all of our gifts and talents at the service of ourselves, even to the point of treating others unjustly, thinking that we deserve comfort and honor. Sometimes we may even demand it whenever we can, whether it's from the waiter at the restaurant, from the cashier at the supermarket, from our siblings, or those who work under our supervision. "My will be done" is the world's motto, but "God's will be done" is Christ's motto, and because he was faithful to it, he put our salvation before his own comfort and honor. This fundamental attitude is most eloquently displayed in Christ's repeated prediction of his passion. In today's passage, which echoes the prophecy of Isaiah from the first reading, Jesus goes into more detail about his coming fate. Just before the gospel we heard proclaimed, Jesus gives a play-by-play account of what will happen to him, that the unjust will condemn him, he will be tortured, mocked, and even crucified. He knows what awaits him in Jerusalem, and yet he doesn't turn aside from it. This shows that everything he will suffer willingly, not for any benefit that will be given to him, but rather for our salvation. Jesus became incarnate, lived, and died for our sake. I remember Archbishop Fulton Sheen saying that Jesus is the only person who was born to die. Every one of us was born so that we might know God and have eternal life, but Jesus already had eternal life, and so he was born to die for us. He had no self-centered item on his agenda. He came simply to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the law that ruled this king's conquest, and the same law that ought to rule the lives of his followers, all who would call themselves Christian. This putting others before ourselves is so central to Christianity that during the Last Supper, Jesus himself declared it to be the identifying mark of his followers. It is by your love for one another that everyone will recognize you as my disciples. One particular beautiful example is from the life of Saint Peter Pascal. He was an outstanding scholar and a bishop during the Middle Ages. He lived in Spain, which at the time was ruled by Muslims, and where Christians were denied civil rights and often enslaved. He preached courageously in order to convert Muslims to Christianity, and he was so successful that the Islamic king of Granada had him ambushed and imprisoned. His friends and colleagues heard about it and sent him a large sum of money as a ransom so that he could buy his freedom. But instead of spending it for his own deliverance, Saint Pascal spent it freeing a number of women and children who had also been imprisoned for their Christian faith and who were on the verge of converting to Islam just so that they could be set free. It was said that our Lord was so pleased with this act of Christian charity that he came in person to thank him. The story goes like this. One morning, a boy dressed as a slave came to serve at St. Pascal's Mass. Afterward, the saint asked the boy some questions from the catechism, which he usually did of his altar servers. The little boy answered so correctly and easily that St. Peter Pascal was astonished and asked him who he was. The child answered, "I am Jesus," and showed him the wounds in his hands and feet. Then he said, "As you, in your love, have willingly condemned yourself for the sake of my people, I have given liberty to them. I have made myself your prisoner." And this is the truth, that when we put others first, we draw closer to Christ, who alone can give us the true meaning in life that we all yearn for. Following the law of Christ's kingdom is not always easy for us, but recognizing it, recognizing goodness and righteousness, usually is easy for us to recognize. We see it in all of our movies, in our novels and books, heroic acts done for the good of others. One of the most famous shipwrecks from the 19th century happened to an early British steamboat called the Birkenhead. It was carrying British troops along with their families to South Africa. In the early hours of the morning on February 26, 1852, the ship rammed an uncharted rock, and the rock sliced the hull right down the middle. The crew and passengers climbed to the upper decks in panic, and the captain tried to get the women and children to safety by lowering them into lifeboats. By the time the lifeboats were clear, and only 25 minutes after the collision, the ship had sunk and the men were swimming for their lives amidst the churning waves, sharp rocks, and sharks. A 17-year-old lieutenant by the name of Russell had been put in command of one of the lifeboats. As he tried to steer it clear of wreckage, a drowning sailor reached up and clutched the side of the boat. One of the women inside screamed and cried out, "It's my husband, please save him." But there was absolutely no room in the jam-packed lifeboat, not even for one more. Lieutenant Russell stood up and jumped clear of the boat into the sea. The drowning sailor was then pulled up into his place. All the women cried out, "God bless you, sir," to Lieutenant Russell, while they could still see him, but in a few moments he sank from view. Chances for such dramatic self-giving happen perhaps once in a lifetime, but chances to put others first in the little things of life happen every single day. We can put others first in so many ways, from feeding the hungry to comforting the sorrowful to forgiving those who have offended us. But there is one form of service so hidden that we too often overlook it, and yet it's perhaps the most profound type of Christian charity. It consists of thinking and speaking well of others. This was the strong suit of Brother Bernard, who was the first follower of St. Francis of Assisi. It is said that Brother Leo, another of the first Franciscans, was once given a vision in which he saw a large group of Franciscan friars in heaven, shining with glory. One was brighter and more glorious than all the rest, and he asked who it was. One of them answered, saying, "That is Brother Bernard," and offering the following explanation. God has rewarded him with greater glory, because when on earth, he always thought and spoke well of others. If he happened to meet a poor man on the street, for example, he would say to himself, "Bernard, there's a man who bears up with poverty better than you are doing." If he met a rich man with fine clothes, he would say, "There is a man who perhaps is suffering greatly in his heart and has learned how to be poor in spirit." Putting others first in our thoughts and words, as Brother Bernard had learned to do, is a courageous way of obeying the commandment of loving our neighbors as ourselves. Perhaps it's precisely what the other disciples, who the others despise us in their hearts and criticize us, that when we are wounded the most. Today, as Jesus puts us first by giving himself to us in the Holy Mass, in the body and blood, let us ask him to help us to follow his example even just a little bit better in this coming week in the way that we speak and treat others. Amen.